Thank you all for coming out this Sunday evening in Spanish Fork, Utah. I'd like to also thank those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank all those that have become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to whom I offer my respectful obeisances. He came to me while I was standing in the darkest region of ignorance, and with the shining torchlight of knowledge, opened my eyes. Before we introduce our topics, I want to share a short story with you. I don't know if you exactly call it a joke. You might have a little slight smile on your face at the end. There are church-going people who come to the pastor hoping that when they say there's no feeling left in their marriage, the pastor will say, well, if there's no feeling left, then the only thing you can do is split. Accordingly, a woman or her husband came to the pastor and said, we're going to get a divorce, but we want to make sure that you approve of it. Instead of approving, the pastor said to the husband, the Bible says you're to love your wife as God loves us all. Husband says, I can't do that. The pastor says, well, if you can't act on that level, then go to a lower level. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Can you at least love her as you would your neighbor? The husband says, no, that's still too high a level. And the pastor says, the scripture says, love your enemies. Begin there. Our topic today is, blessed be the peacemakers. We want to talk about keeping strife out of your life and out of your home. Learning how to get along with people, principally your spouse. Because people are all different, there's a huge potential for conflict. God doesn't make us off the assembly line. He doesn't make carbon copies. Every one of us is unique, one of a kind. Different personalities, different temperaments. We approach things differently. Too often, if someone is not just like us, if we don't agree with their opinion, if we don't see eye to eye, then we get all bent out of shape, allow strife to come in. We have the recent example of Charlottesville, that if people are not the same skin color, not the same ethnicity, too often we start by mistrusting them, then we escalate to demonizing them, and eventually end up blaming all of our problems on them. Any good psychiatrist knows that I can't, and I've tried, are lame, unacceptable excuses. Good psychiatrists insist that their patients stop saying can't and start saying won't instead. They need to see what they're really doing, so they're made to face up to the truth by saying, I won't, not I can't, but I won't get along with my wife. My husband and I not can't, but won't communicate. I won't adapt. I won't adjust in the interest of peace in the home. This verbiage helps them to stop avoiding the truth and start facing reality. Some people think that if they're not getting along, changing partners will help. Well, here are some sober statistics. In America now, first marriages, 41% end in divorce. Changing partners helps. Second marriage, 66% end in divorce. Another marriage helps. Third time lucky? Third time marriage, 71% in divorce. It's easy to treat people nice in public, but what's going on behind closed doors between people who are closest to you? Day-to-day relationships will tell the kind of person that you really are and how high you're going to go in life. Too often we hear that small voice within us to tell us, give it up, let it go, walk away, bite your tongue, don't insist on having the last word, be respectful, but we ignore it. I've discovered that just because someone's not like me, just because they don't do things the way I do, it doesn't mean that I'm right and they're wrong. It just means that we do things differently. It takes maturity to get along. It takes maturity not to make a big deal out of a small issue. It takes a mature person not to go around getting offended all day long. What does this mean in the home? Initially, we were attracted to our spouse because they were different. If you're a planner, likely as they were spontaneous. If you're a spender, they're a saver. If you're grave, they have a sense of humor. If you're talkative, they're reserved and mysterious. Barbara Streisand said, "Isn't it interesting that we marry someone because we're attracted to their differences and then spend the whole of our married lives trying to make them just like us?" We're asking you today to be the bigger person. In any relationship, there'll be disagreements. In any disagreement, in order for the relationship to endure, one person has to step down and be the bigger person. There may be times when one person has to swallow their pride and walk away. Even when he or she wants to argue, even when he or she know they're right, there may be times when we have to let the other person be right for the sake of peace. There may be times when we have to apologize, even though it wasn't our fault. Oh, Taru, that doesn't sound fair. I'm not talking today about what's fair. I'm talking about keeping peace in your home. I'm talking about not giving Maya, the enemy, whose job it is to keep us down, keep us average, keep us mediocre. I'm talking about not giving her a foothold in our life through strife. The most important thing in our lives are relationships, and the most serious enemy to relationships is strife. Do you know people who are sarcastic, bickering, disrespectful, nagging each other constantly? I'll tell you today, those people are barred from knowing peace and love in their lives. Blessed are the peacemakers. The point is that if you want to walk in peace, it doesn't drop in your lap from heaven. You don't fall into peace like you fall into a ditch. You have to work at it. You have to be aggressive. You have to pursue it. It's not enough to have peace. Peace is something that you have to achieve and then learn how to maintain day after day, week after week, month after month. Someone says, "Well, Taru, my wife and I are incompatible." No, marrying that person was not a mistake. Opposites attract. Krishna knew exactly who you needed in your life. I heard a story. A man walked into a temple, sat in the corner silently. As he was sitting there, another man walked into the temple, went up to the deity, and he said, "Krishna, thank you, thank you, thank you. I never got married. I always remained single. I'm worry-free. I can dedicate my life to scripture. No problems, no worries, no anxieties." Went out. Second man came in, folded his hands, said, "Krishna, thank you, thank you, thank you. You sent me a beautiful wife. Never argues. Keeps the home clean and peaceful. It's a joy. It's a haven. I'm without disturbance, without stress. I'm so thankful to you, God, for giving me this wonderful, compatible wife." Walked out. Third man came in and said, "Krishna, thank you, thank you, thank you. My wife makes every moment hell. She never lets up. Nag, 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 nag. Thank you, Krishna. I have no more desire for material happiness. I just want to go back home, back to the spiritual world. Thank you, thank you, thank you." If you're married, Krishna has sent someone into your life. It means that he wants the two of you to be more powerful together. It means that together you can do more. Together, the principle is multiplication. When a man and a woman live peacefully and cooperatively together, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's multiplication. So much more can be accomplished when there's a good man and beside him a good woman. And I'll tell you a little story and I'll give you the point right at the end. I was supposed to give this talk last week, But we had a 75-minute kirtan, so we decided to skip the talk and go right down for the arti. But Dr. Dinesh Patel came just coincidentally last week, and I said, I was going to talk about you during the talk. So this is from an article written by Anand Rao, who is also a good friend of ours, in an online magazine called Utah Stories. Lane Beatty, the president and CEO of the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce, choked and teared up while announcing this year's Utah Genius Lifetime Award. The recipient, Dr. Dinesh Patel, and this is a few years ago, at 57 years old, has more accomplishments than the productive lifetimes of most individuals. Called the father of biotechnology in the American Mountain West, Dr. Patel is a role model for 21st century entrepreneurs, combining scientific knowledge with business acumen to improve society. A bachelor's degree from Gujarat, India, and a doctorate degree from University of Michigan, Dr. Patel is managing director of VSpring Capital, a highly successful venture capital firm based in Salt Lake City. His list of recognition and awards is awe-inspiring. He was awarded a position in the Utah Technology Hall of Fame in 2006. He received the Pathfinder Award, the Edison Showcase University Award, the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, the Utah Asian Chamber of Commerce Outstanding Business Award, U.S. Small Business Administration's Achievement Award, Scientific and Technology Award, Scientific and Technology Development of Progress Award, Honorary Doctorate of Business Degree, University of Utah, and most recently, the Utah Genius Lifetime Award. He co-founded several life science technology companies that have created numerous life-saving products. He started with Theratech. He sold it for $350 million. 5 years later, he sold another company for $350 million. He's on the board of Utah Policy Partnership. Everything combined, the inventions of Dr. Patel and his organization have cost $500 million, and they're worth financially and beyond any imaginable figure in their value to humankind. Now, here's my point. A few years ago, we were at the governor's mansion. We celebrate Diwali every November there. There are about 150 guests, and these are all the movers and shakers of Utah, the president of Utah State University, president of Utah Opera, the governor is there, of course, the vice governor, and all of their wives. So Ashok Joshi got up to introduce Dinesh Patel, and he totally skipped over Dinesh Patel, all of his accomplishments, all of his stature, and he said, I want to talk not about Dinesh tonight, but I want to talk about his wife, Kalpana. Ashok went on to say that a man can do only so much alone, but when he gets a good and faithful wife, the productivity is not just doubled, but it's multiplied. One Sanskrit word for the woman is Shakti, who empowers. When there's peace in the home, the very goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, herself takes up residence there. Woman is also known in Sanskrit as Stri, who expands. From woman, children come, land comes, money comes, businesses come, influence, charitable works. And when Ashok finished his talk with this statement, he got a huge roar from the most important people of Utah, all of whom, hands down, acknowledged the truth of his statement. He said, Dinesh is nothing without Kalpana. Brought the house down. What does this teach us? Present and future husbands, I'm asking you today to consider the cost of allowing strife into the home. The cost to you, the cost to your children, the cost to mankind, because you're wasting your valuable time bickering in the kitchen. Because it's more important to you have the last word in the argument than to fulfill your God-given destiny. If you will learn to cover some of the weaknesses for the person who vowed to spend his or her life with you and go the extra mile to keep strife out of your home, you are sowing a seed for Krishna to do a good work in that person. You can't change people. Only God can. When you change yourself, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, quit nagging, quit complaining, quit telling them what annoys you, quit telling them what they're doing wrong. You can harp on that person over and over. All that does is cause them to dig their heels in. But when Krishna sees that you are changing your attitude, then from within their hearts, He will bring about the changes that you're praying about. Change, in other words, will come when you start keeping a better attitude. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Your strengths make up for others' weaknesses. If you'll start sowing seeds by covering those weaknesses, walking in love and letting some things go, Krishna will begin to change that other person. I just threw this in, a prayer by a wife. I pray for wisdom to understand my man, love to forgive him, patience for his moods. I'm not going to pray, Lord, for strength, because if I get it, I might just beat him to death. Sati's father, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Daksha, did not approve of his daughter marrying Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva does penances and austerities, lives in crematoriums, covers his body with ashes, doesn't even build a house for himself. Sati's father did not approve of her marrying Lord Shiva. So Sati went to her father to try to change his attitude. She was bound and determined, I'm going to set him straight. But when she came to him, he said such vile, offensive, and objectionable things about Lord Shiva that Sati no longer wanted to retain the body she had received from her father. She sat down and, due to mystic yoga power, burned herself to death. Then there was a great fight between the followers of Daksha and Lord Shiva. What do we learn from this? Everybody does not need to adapt and adjust to us. We've got iPhones, iPods, iPads, and iMarriages. Sati could not bring her father around to her way of thinking, no matter how right she was, no matter how sincere or correct she was. The result was strife and war. If we want peace in our lives, we have to be willing to adapt. We can't have the attitude, if my wife starts doing what I ask her, then we'll have peace. If my husband will start picking up his stuff, then I'll leave him alone. If my boss will treat me right, then I'll quit being rude to him. If my father will approve of my husband, then we'll reconcile. Swallowing your pride will never give you indigestion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every time you chant, you're swallowing your pride. You're saying, I'm not the Lord. I'm not the center of the universe. I am simply part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. You're in effect resigning from being God when you chant. You're agreeing that the universe does not revolve around you. And what might this mean at home? Pick up his socks and zip it up. Don't announce it. Don't rub it in. Well, I picked up your socks again today. Pick them up and keep your mouth closed. When you do your part to keep strife out of your relationships, that is honoring Krishna. When you honor Krishna, he will always honor you. The key is we always have to adapt. The key is we have to stop waiting for someone else to do it. The key is we need to take the initiative and become the peacemakers in our families, at work, in school, on the sports field, in life. Wanting to have it our own way is what causes strife in home and in the world. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We want the world to revolve around us. Our suggestion today is, how about a new attitude? How about honoring the people that Krishna has put in our lives? Sure, they may get on your nerves. Sure, they may ask you to do things that you don't want to do. But you need to decide today how much peace is worth. You need to choose between comfort and character. We're made in the image of God. Do you know that when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Almighty Lord, the creator of millions and millions of universes, descended and walked this earth 5,000 years ago, he washed the feet of his enemies? We read in the Mahabharata that Maharaj Yudhisthira was having a great Rajasuya sacrifice, and the sacrifice involved inviting all the kings of the world to come and be present and treat them to nice rooms, nice food, nice accommodations, and nice hospitality. So various duties were parceled out. Draupadi took care of giving them all expensive gifts from the treasury. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, asked that he be allowed to wash the feet of each and every incoming guest. And being the super soul in the heart of all living beings, he also knew full well that in the future, these very same kings would become their enemies and try to kill his devotees. So if God can do it, and we're created in the image of God, we can also do it. Rohini Nandana says in a Back to Godhead article called Every Home a Temple, the solution to these problems of strife lies in knowing the underlying cause of strife, lack of a clear understanding of the goal of human life. You've all heard the term dharma. Loosely translated means duty. Strictly translated, dharma means that part of us that we cannot subtract. That part which is intrinsic to each and every one of us. It's that part which makes, for instance, chili hot. You take the hotness from chili, it's no longer chili. You take the sweetness from sugar, it's no longer sugar. You take the liquidity from water, it's no longer water. What is it that's intrinsic to the living being? Service. We all have to serve. Family, friends, country, laws of material nature, birth, death, disease, and old age, our dogs, our cats, our parrots, our llamas, our guests, even the president stays up only as long as people deem that he's serving them. And when he's not doing a good job, they drag him down. So we are here. We are created to serve. To serve our wife and children, not lord it over them. Serve your humanity, not stereotype and demonize them. Serve our boss and not complain about him or her. The solution to strife is to realize that service brings significance. Service brings meaning. Service brings joy. Service brings fulfillment. Service brings peace. And if you're in a service attitude, nothing can shake you from that. Nobody can take that away. Here's a poem. My orders are to fight, then if I bleed or fail, or strongly win, what matters it? God only doth prevail. The servant craveth not except to serve with might. I was not told to win or lose. My orders are to fight. You want to spend all your days with a chip over your shoulder, giving a tit for every tat? Here's a thought. A bulldog can beat up a skunk any day, but is it worth the stink? Only fools insist on being contentious. Only fools insist on quarreling. How much strife we could avoid by just letting things go, biting our tongue. It is said that avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. There are times when we do have to confront issues. But there are also times in order to keep strife out of our lives, you have to give up your right to be right. I'm asking you today to be a peacemaker. I'm asking you today to take initiative to keep strife out of your home and out of your life. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Learn to treat the people in your life with respect, consideration, and honor. Your mission is too important, and your time is too short to get sidetracked with strife. Get rid of the pettiness which is bringing division and discord, which is keeping you, your family, and society from fulfilling its purpose. Make the decision with me today that you will keep strife out of your life at all costs and thus fulfill every purpose that God created you for in this life and in the next life. Go back home, back to Godhead.